time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you find yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here on Natural Solutions Radio. I think the first article I want to talk about is Bluetooth radiation as dangerous as cell phone radiation. I looked that up, and there's not a really lot of research on Bluetooth radiation. The question is Bluetooth radiation really dangerous? What they're talking about is Bluetooth radiation has been even less studied than cell phone radiation, and the lack of any formal studies has enabled the experts to claim that Bluetooth radiation is safe. This claim is based not on research proving Bluetooth radiation is safe. Rather, it's the lack of research proving that it is unsafe. But that is changing quickly, because there was a recent study, and again, recent, it's 2016. They tested Bluetooth radiation against krill, and they found that the navigation of the Antarctic krill, their navigation was disrupted by exceptionally weak radio frequency fields. And research showing insect cell death from 6 minutes of wireless exposure added to previous similar findings on Bluetooth, etc. Everything hints at a need to monitor our fast-rising, non-ionizing Bluetooth radiation exposure. So that is different, because it's non-ionizing radiation. Regulatory agencies continue to focus on the non-ionizing aspects of Bluetooth radiation as proof that it is not dangerous to the body, yet there is substantial evidence showing otherwise. In layman's terms, there's mounting evidence that it is not just the heating aspect of the microwave radiation, but there are other non-thermal effects that induce some biological harm. The official word is that radiation from Bluetooth headsets and other Bluetooth devices is too low to be considered dangerous to humans. That thinking is just a little flawed, because microwave radiation is transmitting directly against your body for long periods of time. Also, the RFR studies are very low radio frequency intensities. Wikipedia defines Bluetooth as a proprietary open wireless teaching standard for exchanging data over short distances. What it basically means is that it's a wireless transmitter and receiver. Bluetooth uses the microwave frequency, and this is what we're talking about. It's the microwave frequencies and the microwave frequency spectrum in the range of, let's say, 2.4 gigahertz to 2.485, the same as your microwave oven. So it's the same as that. This means that the frequencies of electromagnetic fields on electromagnetic fields, they're double, you were saying that, should sound somewhat of an alarm, and it actually means that there is not enough studies. And according to accepted scientific principles, our bodies first communicate bioelectrically and then biochemically. Dr. Becker, he was one of the foremost researchers on electromagnetic emissions and how it affects the human nervous system, noted that exposure to any abnormal electromagnetic field produces a stress response in the brain. And these artificially induced stress responses can be likened to an assault on our immune system, similar to a chemical exposure. While it's true that the levels of radiation emitted by Bluetooth headsets and devices are below what is the current regulatory agencies considered safe, there are many who question whether it's a safe level or safe at all. So that's the gist of what's happening in today's world. There's not enough studies on it. It is less than normal radiation. So to most private researchers and scientists who are not on the wireless injuries payroll, the recommended safe levels of exposure to radiation are as low as possible or none at all. So Bluetooth radiation emitted from all Bluetooth headsets and technologies and is a type of wireless radio wave frequencies, also known as microwave radiation. And these frequencies have short wavelengths, and it's a rapid rate of oscillation, 2.4 billion times a second. 2.4 billion times a second. Very well suited for data. There's the different classifications of Bluetooth. Class 1 is transmitters. They're the most powerful and emit the highest levels of Bluetooth radiation. They can transmit up to 100 meters and have a peak transmission over 100 milliwatts. Class 2 transmitters are less powerful. They can transmit up to 10 meters. And Class 3 are the least powerful, emit the lowest levels of Bluetooth radiation. They operate in a range of fewer than 10 meters. That's what's happening. We're not sure. There's some saying slight exposure is not good. Some of the scientists saying any exposure is not good. So far, we don't have a lot of research. There are anecdotal studies that can cause, on some individuals, headaches, some mental confusion, loss of memory. But these are all anecdotal. These are not proven cause and effect. So people need to realize that Bluetooth devices that fit in or around your ear typically radiate 0.23 watts per kilogram. Some Bluetooth devices are actually worse than some of the lowest cell phones. So I wish I could find better, but there was some studies that talked about a single 2-hour exposure to the cell phone Bluetooth radiation can result in leakage from the blood-brain barrier, and it can last up to days after. So those can mean something. The problem is we are not sure what it means. We're not sure how much damage. It's going to take 10 years before we really start knowing whether people have issues or not. We may see certain conditions, migraine headaches, tension-type headaches, maybe something affecting how the brain, memory retention, long-term memory, short-term. So there's enough anecdotal things just to imply that we need more studies on that. I think that the Bluetooth probably is safer than listening directly from the phone to your ear. That's why I suggest that anybody that has their phone always hit the speaker button and talk through the speaker, because then you're not holding the phone right directly on your ear. And you can tell, because when you listen in your ear will heat up and that side of your brain will heat up. And that heat is what we're talking about, and we're not sure what that can do. So it's not really definitive one way or the other. So that's our understanding of brainwaves. There was another two studies. I have one on brainwaves. One of the unique things about brainwaves, and this was a study published in the Journal of Current Biology or Electrical Biology, and they revealed that people's brainwaves exhibit remarkably similar patterns when people are standing close together in a group. And what they found is people's brainwave patterns mysteriously sync up when they are near each other, and astonishing new science reveals. Now, what they're talking about is, have you ever noticed you can get around someone and you have an instant like, or someone else, you feel very uncomfortable and you have no real reason what it is that's making you feel that way? Well, now, from the Max Planck Institute of Empirical Aesthetics, they used portable electroencephalogram technology to monitor brainwaves. They found in this study that brainwaves synchronize when you're in a group, or when you're more engaged with each other and also the world around you. So as part of the study, a team of researchers used this portable electrocephalogram. They wanted to monitor and record brain activity from an entire class of high school students. And the experts kept track of the students' brain activity as they went through their usual classroom routine over the course of the semester. And the students were asked how they liked each other, and their teachers and the participants were also asked how much they liked group activities in general. So researchers at the University of Florida then used novel analysis to determine the exact brain synchronicity among students. So their finding, and this again was reported in Science Daily, that brainwaves synchronize when people are close together. That's where that feeling of coming into feeling comfortable all around someone or not feeling comfortable around someone. The second study was also on pain management, and they found that someone touching another person reduced the amount of pain that the individual was experiencing. So the mere fact of laying a hand on someone in a consoling way reduced the amount of pain that the pain sufferer was feeling. And that comes back from an entire, oh my gosh, thousands of years where healings have been done according to laying on of hands. And in nurse practitioners, they do a touch therapy, touch for health and touch therapy, where nurses touch the individual. I think that would be something that nurses actually know instinctively. But they found when someone is in pain and someone else approaches them and touches them in a consoling way, that all of a sudden the pain diminishes. So that's a really cool study. So both of these studies about even being close to somebody, your brainwaves synchronize, and then actually touching somebody helps to reduce their pain level. Two really good studies on that. I think it's pretty unique because I think it describes how the brains of individuals react when there's a healing that takes place. Another thing they found, and I wrote something on that, on the how it works as far as how the brains, and they're talking about that there's actually three brains in the body and how these three brains interact with each other. And it's called head. Of course, we know there's a brain in the head, the heart, and the gut brains, the three brains, and how sometimes they conflict. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I think it's so important. You know, the question becomes, what is a brain? And it might seem like a stupid question because it's that thing between your ears and the gray matter and the master controller of the nervous system that sits atop the spine and under your skull. Now, behavioral scientists make an interesting claim that we actually have three brains. They reside in the head, in the heart, and in the gut. And all three areas, three brains, have massive networks of neurons, and they have very distinct, separate roles. It explains the clash between sometimes what we think and what we often feel. All we know is how unwise decision-making works, and we also know what might lead to wiser decision-making. So only by understanding the three brains can we arrive at a point where we can make better decisions. So it says, enter then the science of the three brains, something that might hold the key to accessing this higher order of decision-making. Yet before we arrive at this point, we need to look at something else. How can we possibly claim to have three brains? Because that's pretty unique. Well, the research is showing that the brain doesn't have a monopoly on intelligence. The heart and the stomach, for example, are fully equipped to do some thinking of their own. Sometimes they're giving the brain orders instead of taking them. And I'm not calling these brains, I personally. Science is calling these brains because there has to be a technical definition of what makes a brain a brain. Your elbow is obviously not a brain, your kidney's not a brain, yet there are many reasons in science that actually show that the head, the heart, and the gut are brains. they have their own intrinsic nervous system with highly active neurons. And all these neurons have a complete range of capabilities in order to do complex adaptive processes. They can take on information, process it, store it, change, and adapt. And basically, these neurons learn. And when a neuron learns, then it's a brain. So we have behavioral modeling, and we can discover how this applies to life. Lo and behold, these different brains do different things, and what are the three brains and their function? So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
We are back. Thank you for joining me. I was talking about a couple of studies that talked about brain waves and how they synchronize, and talked about how holding someone and touching someone can actually help reduce their pain. What we're looking at now is basically how the nervous system works. It's very different than we thought it was years ago. And now we're coming and understanding that there's actually three brains that can learn and do different things. I want to continue on that and just give you a little brief of how it all works. The first of the three brains is the obvious one. It's in the head, the brain, and the master of the processes such as thinking and perception and cognition. Our brains recognize things, making meaning of them. That's what our brain does. It wants to create a narrative, and it masters language. So the head-based language sounds like this. I think, I will, I know, I understand. It's attempting to make meaning of the world around you. Well, the second brain is in the heart. Yes, the human heart. Because in addition to its other functions, actually, it actually possesses a heart brain composed of about 40,000 neurons that are very similar to brain neurons that can sense, it can feel, it learns, and it remembers. So ask any person where they feel an emotion, and their hand will always land directly above their heart. Nobody gestures to their elbow. We know instinctively that this is the place that processes deep emotions. And what else is the domain of the heart brain? Well, here lies our value systems, along with the processes of emoting, the process of valuing, and the way we feel about our relationships. Heart-based language centers around I feel, or on the expression of the deep emotions and values that lie in the heart brain. That's why hugs, they found that people hugging, as an example, their brain synchronize and their heart synchronizes. And the third brain is in the gut. Now, here we find our core identity, and it's what am I? What is not me? What am I? This is the domain of the gut brain. And it's also responsible for safety and protection. Our gut is extremely important in upholding our immune systems, as an example. It also takes care of self-preservation, fear, anxiety, mobility, and action. Gut-based languages always think like, it takes guts, or let's do it. Have you ever had a gut feeling about something? So our three brains don't always align with each other. And have you ever heard someone, perhaps even you, say, my brain tells me one thing, yet my heart tells me another? Or perhaps you felt that the gut instinct that told you something was off, even when your brain couldn't spot anything wrong? Have you ever had a gut feeling or butterflies in your stomach? These sensations emanating from your belly suggest that your brain and gut are connected. What's more, recent studies show that your brain affects your gut health, and your gut may even affect your brain health. The communication system between your gut and your brain is called the gut-brain axis. Now, as far as we can tell, the information highway between the three brains is the vagus nerve. What they found, which is very unique, is 70 to 80% of all the nerve relays from the three brains all go up to the brain and not down. This is the reason when your gut and your heart are already in a reaction, it's almost impossible to talk yourself out of it. So your gut and your brain are connected physically through millions of nerves, most importantly the vagus nerve, and the gut and its microbes, what they're finding now in the gut, that those microbes, those good bacteria, also control inflammatory conditions in the gut and thus in other inflammatory conditions around the body. And it also it makes many different compounds that it can affect our brain health. Those bacteria actually now affect our behavior. And neurotransmitters and other chemicals produced in your gut are also affecting the brain. These same neurotransmitters that are produced in the brain. So the proper bacteria in the gut can actually restore brain function and a reduction in anxiety and fear. To finish up this understanding, a number of foods affect the three brains. And those foods are oily fish high in omega-3 fatty acids, things like wild salmon or sardines, and the sardines in a can are perfectly okay, the ones in mustard or salsa. And also herring and mackerel. Herring you can get in any supermarket in the refrigerated section, and mackerel you can get in the tuna fish section. Instead of tuna fish, which can be high in mercury, you can get mackerel, which is much lower, less toxic. It's also in a can. Tastes a little different, but you can use that instead of tuna fish. So the other thing that's very important, aside from the omega-3 fatty acids that can change the gut bacteria, is your fermented foods and also probiotic pills, capsules. The fermented foods like sauerkraut or kimchi, apple cider vinegar, or any of the fermented vegetables, like the Japanese eat a tremendous amount of fermented vegetables. And these high probiotics, as an example, you can take a pill with all the different strains in it, and you might get 20, even 30 billion organisms in one capsule. Well, 3 forkfuls of sauerkraut will give you 10 trillion of those bacteria. So fermented foods and even taking probiotics for children and other what's called polyphenol-rich high-fiber foods may help increase the beneficial bacteria in your gut and impose gut health, gut, brain, and heart health on all three of them. This is how this whole system works. We're now understanding how what you eat affects your behavior. I think any grandmother would tell you that, eating healthy food and not eating junk food. And also we now are understanding that in ADD and autism, they're using high amounts of fermented foods or the unique probiotics that children can take, and it's bringing about changes in their behavior. It's then important to constantly be working to increase the beneficial bacteria in your gut. And improving the gut will improve the gut, heart, and brain connections and health. By the way, all of this information that I got came from the National Institutes of Health and the National Library of Medicine. That's to help you understand the relationship between diet and nutrition and the relationship between your gut and your heart and your brain. Sometimes when you eat something, that something really makes your stomach feel badly and you get that nausea. When you're nauseous and you don't feel well, you just want to be alone and just kind of get through it as much as possible. You'll also find that when you feel good, everything is working harmoniously, that you enjoy being around people and people that you like, that you interact with. So this is the understanding of how that gut, heart, and brain work. And again, when you touch your heart and then you pray or concentrate, the idea is to get that emotional part that you feel and what you think to be synchronized. That's how prayer, when you start looking at some of the understandings like Greg Braden, I think, is one of the best. And he'll talk about how do you make prayer work. And again, it has to do with the brain in the heart and the brain in your head. And the mere fact that you touch your heart center, your consciousness goes wherever you're touching. So understanding that concept, that's how when you touch your heart and then get into a prayer. And one of the things that we learn in that, it has to be active. I was listening to a lecture. They were in an arid area, I think, in Mexico, and Greg Braden was talking with some healers, and they were talking about that they needed rain. And so people were going to pray for rain. And he expressed that you can't pray for rain because what happens is that you're implying that the rain is in the future. And so it's always in the future. And he said how you get that prayer to work is that you have to feel the emotional state and feel what it's like to have it already be raining. So the idea is giving thanks to the rain and imply that it's already raining, and you want to feel how it feels to feel that rain. Not looking to the future, but looking at an active. As an example, when I give prayers to cancer patients, I love and appreciate my immune system for always keeping me healthy and cancer-free. So it's an active thing that's happening. You're implying that your immune system is already on your side, that your immune system is already working to keep you healthy. The idea is that the prayer, you have to feel the emotional state as if the prayer has already been answered and not to put it in the future.
What's a good natural solution for sciatic pain?
For sciatic pain, low back pain, sciatic pain, pain down your legs, depending upon how bad it is. It's almost epidemic in the United States. Most sciatic pain comes from the lumbar region. Let's say 4, 5 and sacral number 1. And you get these nerves in the facet where the nerves come out. And it actually can feed that big nerve that goes down your leg. It actually, from the lumbar, goes down right in the middle of the buttock. Down it goes to the side of the leg, and one nerve will push over into the groin and curve around right into your groin, and another part of the nerve right goes down the leg, behind the leg, on the side of the leg, or in the front of the leg. You can get areas like in your calf where there's certain areas that are numb or tingling, or you can get electrical shooting pains down depending upon how bad it gets, or depending upon exactly which part of the nerve is being compressed. You might have the top of your foot on that side, let's say your left foot, the top of your big toe, or the top of your ankles and the top of your toes. So that can all be affected. Now, to treat that, there's a number of things. First and foremost is giving it a little rest, is don't aggravate it. That's going to be important, and it's very difficult. Sometimes you just can't find a good position to get out of pain. Alpha lipoic acid and the mineral MSM, it's a sulfur-based mineral, methyl sulfuronone methane, that can help with the immune system and for pain relief. Body work is probably one of the best things that you can do for pain. Finding someone that does Rolfing or postural integration or the Heller method or the Riley method. Seeing a good chiropractor. Now, the difference is there are different types of chiropractic. The one that says, I need to see you every day and do all of that, be careful of those. You know, sometimes it's just the idea of how much is my income. A good chiropractor can really help alleviate a lot of this pain. That's something you can do. But again, taking nutrients. There is one nutrient. It's a form of B1 called benfotiamine, and it's a fat-soluble form of B1. It actually has been shown to help with neuropathy in higher doses. I have that in Prime Longevity, and it's one of the only ones on the market that have that benfotiamine in it at a very high dose. So another one that can help with pain is called astaxanthin, and it's one of the carotenoids, astaxanthin, zeaxanthin, lycopenes. These are all the things that give color to fruits and vegetables. So that's also, by the way, in Prime Longevity. You can take those nutrients. Now, one of the best things you can do for any kind of sciatic pain is don't be constipated, because when you take those pain medications, they will almost universally make you constipated. So you want to eat your 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, you know, not all at one time, a teaspoon in every glass of water, that kind of thing. A couple teaspoons, tablespoon mixed with flax oil and an onion and some garlic and a tomato and a nice salad dressing, and you can eat it that way. Getting your gut so that you're not having constipation, because you can have an extra 10 pounds of feces in there, and when you lie on your back, it's pressing down on your spine. That gravity makes it press down. So anything you can do, sauerkraut, very important. Even prunes. Prunes are rated one of the highest antioxidant fruits of all time. You can take 4 or 5 prunes, put it in a little saucepan, fill it with good water, not tap water, let it soak for about 4 hours, and then, like after dinner as a treat, drink that water and eat the 4 or 5 prunes, and you will have great bowel movements. And that's one of the best things to do for sciatic pain. There's also a stretch that you can do. I'll kind of describe it. You take just a good chair, solid chair that's on the floor that doesn't roll or move, and put that foot up that has the sciatic pain, and you kind of put the foot flat on the chair and kind of go backwards just so that you're stretching your hamstring, and then lean over so that your chest is almost lying on the top of your thigh. And then slowly you just kind of push backwards, stretching that back of your thigh, stretching that sciatic nerve. Another thing you can do is go to somebody that does body work. They'll put a nice elbow right into that middle of that buttock muscle and help alleviate the pain. So I think that'll help. Again, there's not a lot of things you can take internally, but whenever you take the pain medication, make sure you're taking sauerkraut, apple cider vinegar, and the things that make you poop, because the pain meds will make you constipated. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. There is a movement around the world where people notice the clock, 11:11, and it supposedly is what they're talking about is it tunes you into that spiritual part of you. They talk about prayer and meditation exactly at that moment. So you can do this. You can look up online or look up YouTube. There's all kinds of things on it. But again, it's another way to use some of these spiritual techniques to help manifest your desires and dreams. So again, the key, though, is on any manifestation is to get your heart and your mind in tune with each other. Your heart has to feel as if it's already happening. So whatever your brain is thinking or desiring, when you touch your heart and you make those prayers or affirmations, you do it in a present tense, that it's already occurring. And you want to feel the gratitude of that wish or dream or desire that's already manifested. So that's one of the keys.
So we have another caller here. Yeah, it's a three-part question. Is it okay to take iodine as potassium iodide, 150 micrograms? Up to how many drops, and what should a blood test show your iodine level?
That's a good test. Potassium iodide or iodine, there's different forms. That comes in what's called Lugol's solution. There's also one SSKI, which is forms of just straight iodine. Iodine is one of the most important elements that anyone can take along with selenium. Those two elements, more than any others, help prevent cancer. So when you get a blood test, what you would want is that test to be up between 75 and 95. But again, about 95, we don't really want to go much higher than that unless you have full-blown cancer that's spread. Then you can go up as high as 100, 110. And all of the newest research shows that when you get your vitamin D levels up to 75, again, the 75 or higher, what they found, though, is when that blood is up to 75, you cut your risk of every known cancer by 75%. And I've mentioned this before, I think that should be front page news in the world. It definitely should be. If there was a drug, like I said before, that helped breast cancer, say 12%, that would be front page news on every newspaper. And here we are at 75% reduction. So there's different forms. You can get a pill form called Iterol. And that's iodine. That's the same as Lugol's, but in a pill form. I like Lugol's. It's very inexpensive, but you have to be careful when you buy Lugol's, because a lot of people are making it in their garage. They buy the iodine crystals and they mix it up themselves, but those crystals might be coming from China, and they're just not as pure. The crystals coming from Europe, or actually South America and Peru, are some of the highest grade crystals. We get our iodine from a pharmaceutical company, and that's the reason every batch looks the same and is the same. And when you have that, you want to make sure. So that's Lugol's solution, pharmaceutical grade. And I want to say thank you to everyone joining us. Anyway, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. I want to introduce somebody that's been a close friend for many, many years. He's been known as the American Sovereign, or the Voice of Freedom. He's returning to the broadcast airwaves with his hit show, The Global Freedom Report. Brent Johnson is regarded as one of the number one experts in the world on sovereignty and privacy. He's had one of the most successful broadcasts for more than 25 years, teaching listeners workable methods of protecting their assets, showing them how to live free from the endless stream of governmental regulations, and how to maintain your privacy. And people who have participated in Brent's systems enjoy freedom from many taxes, unparalleled property protection, genuine privacy, and the ability to live free from government controls and regulation. He's one of the foremost in the world. Brent, are you there? Good morning.
I am here, and thank you so much, Eliezer. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
You and I have worked together for many, many years, and when we first started working together, back almost 20 years ago, I'm going to say close, something like that, privacy was not the same as it is today. Today, I think there's less privacy, less than ever before, especially with social media. And it seems like that so many people don't care about privacy. They don't care that someone's listening in on their telephones, or these the millennials, or they don't care that someone's monitoring their homes or monitoring their computers. But have you noticed that trend over the years, that people are becoming less and less desirous of privacy? And that almost bothers me a little bit.
Well, it should bother you, and not only do I notice it, you know, I was way ahead of the curve because I was talking about this happening 15 years ago. It was, the writing was on the wall. It was very, very clear to me, okay, that privacy was the next major commodity because people were not going to have it. I mean, and some people were going to want it. And it was absolutely crystal clear to me. And that's exactly what's happened. Is something that has been going on for a very, very long time. It's just today's technology has made it more obvious. And what's happening is that people are making the same choice that so many of them have made, which is, I would rather have convenience than have liberty. I would rather have things be easier for me than do what is necessary to protect my rights. And that's really what it comes down to. That's the reason why today privacy is a problem. It's a question of, you know, well, I live in the digital world, and all I got to do is I can turn on my computer and click here and click there, and I can get what I want. Nobody thinks about the cost to their liberty because people do not value their liberty because they don't really see. They think that they're free. There's a very, very famous quote, okay, from Dresden James. Now I'm paraphrasing. None more deceived than those who believe they are free. You know, people say, oh, yeah, I live in a free country, man. I'm free. You know, they tell me on CNN that I'm free. They tell me this is the best country in the world, that I'm free. And they don't really understand what freedom is and what freedom means. And that's the reason why people don't value their freedom. And that's the reason why privacy is
so
down
important.
The toilet for most people.
You know, I look at something like Facebook. I think the CIA couldn't have asked for anything better than something like Facebook, because now everybody puts every single minutia detail about their lives, what they had for breakfast, you know, how are their bowel movements this morning, you know, where they're going to shop. And I mean, it's like they put on every piece of information, and people don't realize that their phones, smartphones, can actually track them wherever they go and whatever position they're in. It's like people are giving that up on purpose, that they put so much information now. The CIA, I think, could just go to someone's Facebook page and learn everything about them. I don't think people are aware of how that information is shared, and a lot of that information is sold. You know, Facebook gets to monetize all that information. I've noticed that just people don't care. And the young, if you get someone over 45 years old, they do care about their privacy, but 18 to 35, they don't care.
That's right. And that's really it. They don't care. It's not that they don't know about it. It's that they don't care. And, you know, that's always the problem. It's, if people don't care about something, they don't value it. If they don't value it, they won't do what's necessary to protect and defend it. The only reason that I have a Facebook page is because when I started the Global Freedom Report, I wanted to have a Facebook presence. And the only way I could set up the page was by having an individual page. It's an adjunct of my individual page. That's the only reason. I don't put things on Facebook. Very, very, very little on Facebook, because my private affairs are none of the rest of the world's business.
Exactly.
Unless I choose to share it.
Yeah, and but the key is that you can choose to share it, where I think most people don't realize the choice has been taken away from them.
And again, the issue is not that these things happen, because there will always be things like this that happen. The issue is that people don't care that these things happen. And that's the real issue. When I started Freedom Bound International back in 1993, I recognized at the very, very beginning that the organization, the message that I was putting out, okay, the information that I was providing, the services I was providing, were not for most people. Okay, they were for a relatively small minority of people. People who value their freedom, people who value their privacy, people for whom it is important that others not arbitrarily know and use information without their consent about them. That's not most people. That's not most people. I wrote an article a number of years ago called the 80% rule. And the premise of the article is that anything that shows up on television, 80% of the people automatically believe. I don't care what it is.
One of the questions, though, you know, we're talking sovereignty and privacy. What do we mean by sovereignty? I mean, privacy, that's a word easily somewhat understood. But what do you mean by sovereignty, especially in conjunction with privacy? What does that mean?
Well, the term sovereign, the word sovereign means supreme ruler. That's what it means. So sovereignty is the principle that says you are the ruler of your life. The king is sovereign over the kingdom. So you are the ruler over your kingdom, your life, your house, your property, your privacy. All of that is ruled by you. That is your natural state. That is what each of us, being children of God, we're born with. That's from the Declaration of Independence. You are endowed by your creator. How many of you were created by the government?
Exactly.
Then you did not get your rights from the government. So a sovereign is the king, is the queen, is the ruler. And every one of us was naturally created sovereign. And what's happened is the vast majority of people have, generally without knowing it, have agreed not to be sovereign. I'm willing to give up my kingdom in exchange for benefits and privileges promised to me by the government, which, as a sovereign, the government is your public servant. But
right,
when you give up
yeah.
your kingdom, you become the servant of the government. So that's what sovereignty is. Sovereignty is supreme rulership over your own life.
And that's something unique. This is the first time in the history of the world that documents were made where the people were sovereign and they told the government what they're allowed to do and not to do. Where every other political system in the world is the government is telling the people what they're allowed to do or not to do. And so many people have forgotten that, and they forget that that
or
really was. Or never have known it. That document and the Bill of Rights, I think we need to be screaming about the Bill of Rights from every rooftop, and that the Bill of Rights need to be on in every courtroom and talked about. And the Bill of Rights, it has to be a unique document throughout the world. No other government of the world has something like that.
Well, actually, that's true and not true. Okay, other governments have Bill of Rights. For example, New Zealand has a Bill of Rights, just as an example. But in New Zealand, the Bill of Rights is subject to the Parliament. In America, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are limitations on the government, not subject to the government. And by the way, just as a note, and everybody falls into what I call the propaganda. Everybody falls into it, okay? But the government is not a they. You talk about the government, and you talk about how they are doing this and that. The government is an it, and it's whenever I post stories on my websites, okay, and I edit them for posting, I always make sure of things like that. I'm very careful about it. The government is an it, and when you refer to it and think of it as an it, you depersonalize it, which is what you're supposed to do. The government is a thing. It is not people. It is a thing. When you talk about what the government is doing, what it is doing, not what they are doing. They are people.
Is it important? Is sovereignty and is privacy, is it important, or are we making a mountain out of a molehill? Is it who cares? It's not really important.
Well, it's important to those who care about it. Like I said, the 80% rule, okay? I never intended that the things I was going to teach, the things I was going to do for people were for the majority of the people. I never deluded myself of that. You talk about the Founding Fathers. What was really magnificent about the Founding Fathers was that this group of people who are from all different backgrounds, this group of people cared about their liberty, cared about it, freedom and independence. And it is that care that motivated them to do the things that they did. Our Constitution, our Declaration, all of it comes from caring about it. That's the challenge. How do you get people to care about their sovereignty, to care about their liberty, to care about protecting what's theirs? And the unfortunate thing is that most people begin to care only after they realize that there are those out there who are trying to take what's theirs, trying to force them to do what they don't want to do. And often by that time, it's a lot harder to fix things.
Absolutely. We're going to continue with Brent Johnson, who's probably one of the foremost authorities on privacy and sovereignty. There's been a lot of different programs throughout the country over the years, and we're going to find out how his is different than others. And what does it mean? What is it to live in a free country? And I'm sure there's other countries that think they are free. So we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you for joining me. We are back here at Natural Solutions Radio. Anyway, I'm looking at Brent's telephone number that dialed into here, and it's 11111111. And so if that's not a cosmic coincidence number 27, I don't know what is, because here it is. We were talking about it, and that it has to do with spiritual manifestation and truth and the ability to understand and go within. And here we are seeing Brent Johnson, who talks about privacy and sovereignty, and his number is all are based on 11111111. So that was really cosmic. Anyway, we are back, and I thank you all for joining us. So, Brent, I hope you are still there. I'm sure you are. We didn't hang up.
Yes, I'm still here. Okay. Interesting what you mentioned about the 11111. When I call into a radio show as a guest, I always use Skype. Now, there's a lot of problems with Skype, especially since Microsoft took over. But one thing that Skype does is it encrypts the number.
Oh,
so
yes.
So that the receiving agent doesn't see your actual number. That is a form of privacy protection. Real simple.
I know there's been a lot of programs. I've seen programs over the years about sovereignty. You know, people can use banking in a certain way. They can actually set up their business affairs. I know the rich, the very wealthy, they set up their business affairs so that they can be private.
When somebody becomes a public figure, a politician becomes a public figure, then it changes things. As a public figure, whether or not they intend to, they automatically give up a certain degree of privacy. If somebody's going to be president or somebody's going to be governor or mayor or whatever else, the people they're going to govern have a certain right to know about their character. They simply do. And so whether or not a tax return is a measure of character, I wouldn't go. That's not what I'd be interested in if I wanted to know about the character of a politician. But when somebody does go into the public venue, then they automatically are not in the private venue. They're in the public venue. And so there are things about them that the people do have a certain right to know. That's just common sense. Like I say, the tax return is really not, in my mind, a good gauge of those things. But
what would you say as far as people who live in these free countries? They're already free, or at least we think we are. So when you provide your services, what is happening when someone comes to you and says, I've heard that you can really help me in all of the issues of sovereignty and privacy? What is involved in that? What do people get? What would you do for someone?
Well, in the first place, there are not a lot of free countries. As a matter of fact, I would wager there are very, very few, if any, truly free countries. Freedom means freedom from government control. That's what freedom means. Now, having defined it that way, you tell me what country is a free country,
yeah,
and you're going to be hard-pressed to actually find it.
Absolutely,
but
yes.
Having said that, I have a very devoted, if relatively small, clientele. My clients enjoy the fruit of their labor, truly enjoy it, get to do what they want with their property, get to do what they want with their lives, are not licensed, regulated, controlled, dictated to by any level of government, and therefore get to enjoy freedom the way our founding fathers envisioned freedom. But unless they tell somebody about it, nobody knows. They have their privacy as well. What I do that's different, by the way, I want to say that over 25 years, we have a 100% track record with the services we provide protecting people. 100%. Okay, we've been attacked by the IRS. We've been attacked by the courts. We've been attacked numerous times by numerous agencies, and never have they been successful in undermining what we do. The reason is this, that number one, I see things the way they really are, not the way I want them to be. And number two is that I make sure my clients know that. I will let my clients know clearly that if you want your liberty, you have to give up your benefit. If you want your property protected, you have to give up legal control of it. Maintain your daily practical control, but legal control. Okay, I tell them that right out front. Most people don't want that. Most people don't, I don't want to give up my benefits. Okay, I don't want to give them my benefits. Okay, fine. Then sovereignty is not for you. Okay, I don't want to give up legal control of my property, even though that is the key. That's the key that the Kennedys knew about, the Bushes knew about. All of them have done these things.
The Dillons, the Hunts, and all of the Rockefellers. I know when we talk about that, I realize that when you own something and the government is after you, they can take what you own away. But when you don't own something, government wants to go after you. That ownership, when you don't own something, they can't take that away. You can control something. I know you've taught that all along. There's a difference between the control of, say, your home or the ownership of your home. Because when you own something, someone can take it away in a suit or something. I remember a story with the Kennedys. They had a cat, and the cat scratched some visitor that was visiting the Kennedys. And the guy said, oh, wow, I think I can sue the Kennedys and get some money. Well, they had the cat in a trust. The cat was in its very own trust. So when they went to court and he tried to get any kind of damages, they said, here, have the cat. You can own the cat. The cat is in its own trust. And I thought that was quite unique because they couldn't do anything. But when you own something, I guess you've taught me someone can take that away.
Yeah, and by the way, you notice how easy it is when you're talking about government to say they.
Yes, yes,
it
I heard
it.
That. Yeah, it.
It. Yeah, it's so easy and automatic. Yeah, that was John Kennedy. Okay, it's a true story. Okay, and when you're Kennedy, anything you have is very, very well protected. And the type of trust that Kennedy had the cat in was something called a pure trust organization. And the only thing in the trust was the cat. So the guy sued, he got a damage award, and he got the cat. And the reason he got the cat was it was the only thing in the trust. If one of Kennedy's yachts or mansions or cars was in the same trust with the cat, he would have been able to get that as well. But because the only thing in the trust was the cat, the only thing he could get was the cat. It's a true story, absolutely. So my point is that most people don't want to give up the benefits for the liberty. That's the bottom line. But because I'm so clear about it to people, okay, I automatically eliminate a good deal of people from my clientele. That's just what happens, okay? And I'm willing to do that. The people who can think clearly about the value of liberty, they're the ones who become my clients. They're the ones who come to me for my services. And because I view it this way, I have been very, very successful to the point of 100%. Very successful over a long period of time, a quarter of a century. There are various things, three particular things, that the sovereign protects. One is your life. Now, frankly, that's up to you, your family, your friends, okay? It's up to you to protect your life. It's not up to the police. It's not up to the government. It's up to you to protect your life. Liberty, that's something I can help you with. Property, that's something I can help you with. Those are the three things that the sovereign values: life, liberty, and property. Now, the truth of the matter is that if you want your liberty, you cannot accept government privileges. It's an either-or. And this is how governments all over the world have gotten people to give up their freedom. Hey, look, you know, I'm going to give you welfare. I'm going to give you food stamps. I'm going to give you health care, Medicare. The truth of the matter is government doesn't have anything to give you. Government takes from others in order to give you. But the moment that you accept something that is controlled by government, any level of government, then you become subject to that government. Remember, the sovereign is the ruler. The sovereign is not the subject. You become subject. And so if you truly want to be the ruler of your life, and there are a lot of perks to doing that, then you cannot also be a subject. It's an either or. So there are lots and lots of people who have, you know, said, no, you know, I want to keep my benefits. I want to keep my perks. So they willingly go through life without being truly free. But even those people can take care of their property. That's the third thing, property. Okay, and there are ways that you can protect your property so that there are no taxes on it, there are no regulations on it. I used to own 5 acres in Central Texas. I never got a property tax statement. I could build on it anything I wanted without having to go get a permit of any kind. Okay, I could pretty much do what I want because that property had not been compromised in terms of my sovereignty. And most people today, they don't even know that they have those options.
Brent mentioned trusts and protecting property, and we're going to continue. We're going to expand on that. What does that mean? And I want to make sure, Brent, that you give out your phone number and the website so people can get a hold of you and take advantage of the services that you offer. And I personally really think that these types of services are so, so important, and that's the reason that I invited Brent on today, because I know it's a little abstract for so many people, but my audience is sophisticated, and there's so many people that would like to learn, how do you protect your bank accounts? How do you protect the property you own, or the cars you own, or the artwork that you own, so that if something, God forbid, does happen, and you get sued, someone falls and hurts themselves, breaks something, and they want to sue you, how you protect yourself from that. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you for joining us. I'm talking with Brent Johnson, one of the foremost authorities in the world on sovereignty and privacy. I know we've been talking a little bit abstract, so let's even bring this down to a more practical level. So when people talk about wanting to protect certain things, someone has a beautiful art collection, or they have antique cars and they want to protect that. Whatever it is they want to protect, what are some of the means of being able to do that? And are they difficult? Are they expensive? What does that mean?
Well, firstly, before I answer that question, let's answer the question, protect it from what? When we talk about, you know,
protection.
Asset protection. Protect it from what? And this is something that I understand very clearly, and most people don't get it. But the government is staffed by criminals. Now, what I mean by that is that the government is literally organized crime with a badge. The highest law of the land is the Constitution. The Constitution authorizes the government to do certain things and not to do anything else. When the government goes beyond its constitutional authority, then those people in government who are doing such are actually breaking the law. They are criminals. Now, when you're dealing with criminals, you have to protect what's yours. If you got a bunch of thugs, muggers, walking around, what do? To make sure they don't mug you. So what you're doing is you're protecting yourself from government criminals. So the principal thing is, if you don't want muggers to mug you, don't let them see you. Don't let them use what I call the psychological battleground to set things up so that you don't have anything they want. If you don't have anything they want, they're going to leave you alone. If they leave you alone, you are free to enjoy your property, the fruit of your labor. There's a precept in law that says ownership equals liability. And it doesn't matter if you're the owner, a trust is an owner, a corporation is an owner, it makes no difference. That which owns is liable. If you own property and there's damage caused by the property, okay, you're held liable. Since ownership equals liability, if you don't own anything, you have no liability. I don't own anything, not in the entire world. Therefore, if the IRS decides I owe them money and I say I don't and they say you do and I say I don't, there's nothing they can do. They can't take anything. Thus, I'm free from the IRS. If the government thugs are out there on the prowl and they look up my record and they see I don't own anything, I become unattractive to them. They leave me alone.
Well, thus, I know that's how Kennedy and the Rockefellers and all of these great wealthy people, you know, to them, I always remember I would hear from the Rockefellers, they said, ownership is nothing, control is everything.
That's it. And Ted Kennedy, I don't know how many of you out there remember or even know about Chappaquiddick Bridge in 1960.
Oh, there's a movie about Chappaquiddick.
Well, what happened was Ted Kennedy was falling down drunk. He was driving. He drove off the bridge, and his companion, Mary Jo Kopechne, 29 years old, died. And her parents sued Kennedy for the wrongful death of their daughter. And Kennedy's insurance people came to her parents and offered them $30,000 and said, if you don't take it, you'll get nothing. Why not? Because Kennedy doesn't own anything, which is true. Kennedy owned nothing. Thus, he had no liability. So the key here is that that which you value, you take it out of your legal ownership. We set something up like what John Kennedy set up in the example we talked about earlier. It's called a pure trust organization, or a PTO. And a pure trust is a trust in which the person who puts his property in trust gives up legal control of the property, maintains practical control. Okay, if you know you live in the house, you get to use the house as you see fit and all of that stuff, but the trust owns the house, not you. If there's a sale of the house, the trust sells the house. You get the proceeds, you get the money from it, but the trust sells the house. If you die, there's no inheritance taxes because the property hasn't changed hands. The trust still owns the house. You can set it up that your children or your wife or your husband or whatever else gets what's called the beneficial interest in the trust if you die, but there's no taxes there. There's no regulations. None of that stuff.
To put something into the trust so that you no longer own it, but what you mean is that you still have beneficial use of that. What does that mean? Do they control the, let's say it's a bank account or something else, and what do you mean? So you don't own it, but you can still maintain control of that, such as your car.
That's correct. That's exactly right. Okay, you put your car into one of these trusts, the car gets registered in the name of the trust, and then the trust issues a lease agreement back to you. So you go from being the registered owner, and as the registered owner, you are the liable party, to being a lessee. And as a lessee, you have no liability. As a matter of fact, if you're pulled over by the cops, they can't give you a ticket for a registration infraction because you're not the registered owner.
That must freak a lot of cops out sometimes because they don't. Do they know these things? I know if they're a lieutenant above or something, they often know these things. But the general guy,
they
don't.
They do know. If you're not the registered owner, they can't give you a registration ticket. Now, if you have their license, they can give you a license ticket. Okay, you know, a ticket against you as a licensee. But if it's a ticket against the vehicle, they can't do that. And they know that. And if you think of the cops as more of these criminals I'm referring to, for them, time is money. Time is money. If they can't ticket you, they let you go.
There's no
point.
And
they go find somebody else who they can ticket because that's what they're trying to do. They're out there trying to take what's yours and give it to them and their agency. And if they can't do that, well, they'll go find somebody else. That's the psychology of it. And we have been absolutely successful because I have studied the principle of legal control. And the principle of legal control is the only thing the courts look at. It's the only thing the legal system looks at in terms of ownership. Ownership equals legal control. And legal control equals ownership. If you don't have legal control of property, you don't have ownership. And if you don't have ownership, you don't have liability. It's as simple as that. But you have control from a practical sense. There's some things you can't do. Like I said, you can't actually sell the house. The trust would have to sell the house. Can't borrow money against the house. You can't go out and get a mortgage on the house. If you already have one, that's fine. But if you don't, you can't do that. The trust can do that, but you can't do that.
But who manages
the trust?
The trust
can do that for you. The trust is managed by a trustee. We actually use the term fiduciary owner in ours because the word trustee is also used in statutorily controlled trusts. Not every trust will do the type of thing that I'm saying. Okay, the trusts that most attorneys set up are under the control of the government. These trusts are not. And as a matter of fact, the Patriot, Patrick Henry, remember Patrick Henry?
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Henry had a pure trust called the North American Land Company. It was set up in 1790, I believe it was, and it was open until the late 1990s when it finally closed. So over 200 years it was around, and it was a pure trust organization exactly of the type that I'm talking here. So the point of all of this is that what we can do is we can help you to reclaim your liberty if you're willing to give up the privileges and benefits. Okay, me, I'm not eligible for Social Security. I'm not eligible for welfare. I'm not eligible for food stamps. None of that stuff. I can't go to the government and get those things, but I control my own life.
Brent, we have 2 minutes left. How can people get a hold of you and get more personal contact with you so that you can actually talk to them about what's available for someone that wants to protect their assets, wants to protect themselves and their family?
Sure enough. We have a toll-free number, 888-385-FREE. That'll get you to a human being, and we can actually talk. We also have a website, actually I have two websites, but the main website is www.freedomradio.us, freedomradio.us. It outlines all of our products and services. It also has a tremendous amount of free information about sovereignty and about, you know, all the things that we're talking about here and so much more. That's freedomradio.us or call us toll-free at 888-385-3733. It's been an absolute pleasure. Time went so fast.
And I want to thank you also for over the years understanding freedom and sovereignty and how to protect things. You are really a man of wisdom. So I have to say thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be back next week with another show. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph signing off. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning on Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. Prime Longevity, check it out. PrimeLongevity.com, the best anti-aging supplement on the market.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.